We love having great advertisers support our show, but in order to continue doing that, we need your help. So please go to podsurvey.com/bachelor and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you a little better. That way, we can show advertisers just how great our listeners are. Even if you've taken our show's podcast listener survey before, the current one is new and different, so I'd really love for you to take it all over again. Plus, once you've completed it, you can enter to win a $100 Amazon gift card. You could use it on books, DVDs, or like paper towel. That's the great thing about Amazon, right? So go to podsurvey.com/bachelor. That's podsurvey.com/BACHELOR. Thanks for your help. And now it's time for Bachelor Party. Welcome to Bachelor Party. It's Hometown Dates Week, so I had to bring in my family, Mallory Rubin and Bill Simmons.
Oh, Mallory's going to cry.
That was so touching. You guys are my work family.
You're a good cop. I'm bad cop.
Right.
I come in, you soften them up, make everyone feel at home, make a joke about how old the scotch is, and then I come in with the scary big eyes, and I say, if you hurt her.
Right.
Cut out your heart.
And so that's what Vanessa's sister did.
Indeed.
Vanessa, to me, was the least interesting date. But
how about this? The least interesting.
Vanessa.
I've cooled on her big time.
Really? So you're out on her?
Not out on her. I just...
She's definitely winning, so...
First of all, if you're on a contest where you're competing for somebody's affection with 25 other girls, you can't just repeatedly talk about how hard it's been for you to date somebody who's dating other people.
Right.
That's the point of the show.
So,
I want to hear it. Just win the contest.
The centerpiece of A Day in the Life of Vanessa, which I noticed they kind of were hammering home this year more than others. They're like, this is a day in the life of X. Like they don't usually do that. Usually it's just like, come home with me. To do a day in the life of Vanessa, that meant going to Vanessa's school where she does special education for adults.
Yes.
I was just catching up with Roger Sherman's Bachelor recap on our website, which is funny, very funny every week. Two mentions of Roger's abuela, Jewish abuela in Cuba. I mean, in Miami this week, Cuban Jewish abuela.
Okay.
And Roger was like, that was like genuinely really moving. Yeah. And like they like obviously love her. And like, while that might be true, that was not my take on that part of the date. How did that sit with you, Mallory?
So I was watching this. I'll get a little personal here. Because I assume that you were going to say, I know some people said that they thought that the show was exploiting the special needs students. I was watching this. My family happened to be in town. My sister, as you guys know, is a special needs person. My mother used to be a special needs educator. We watched this as a family, and they were both very moved by it.
Interesting.
And very touched by it. My mom in particular, who had worked in a similar situation, was like, isn't it lovely to see that sort of situation put in a positive light to show what the meaningful relationship between a student and a teacher in that situation can mean? And that sort of made me feel okay about being kind of
touched
by it.
That's great to know.
Yeah. My very first instinct, the moment they walked in the door, was, oh boy.
like this could go bad.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, that they're basically putting people with life challenges in a situation where you cannot, as the viewer, know that person understands the situation that he or she is in fully. Who are they asking for permission? So
I was like, what's the release situation here?
Right.
Like, who's signing the releases? I don't know. I just had a lot of questions.
So I had a similar situation to Mallory because my father, before he became superintendent, was director of special needs and got his PhD in it and the whole thing and worked with the special needs community in Easton for years and years and years. So I've seen the people that are in that situation working with them day to day to day. So when this happened, I was like, this is going to be really interesting. Like, first of all, how are they going to handle it? What is she like? And it made me like her more. And the way she handled everything and how she ran the class and dealt with the students, it's just clear. Like, she's such a good person.
She's genuine.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
The date was boring, though.
The date was boring because she's normal, basically.
With that said, the date was boring.
She's compassionate.
Yeah.
She has students that love her and she loves them. And
great.
She's had her heart broken. Those are all very pedestrian, normal things.
And then you have Corinne over here, who's just a horn dog and offers really none of the redeeming qualities of, say, Vanessa. And yet it seemed like he liked Corinne Moore, and it all comes down to the sex thing on The Bachelor.
It really does. Okay.
It's just when you have that thing and you can see it and they just want to jump each other's bones, it's really hard for other people to win.
I thought the Vanessa edit was confirmation that she wins.
I agree with you.
Because it was
What made you say that, though?
It was so overtly negative, and so much effort was made to make it look like that relationship was entering a fraught, troubled state. It reminded me of Jordan with JoJo last year, where it was really clear the entire way. Maybe there was sexual chemistry with another contestant, but it was so obvious Jordan was going to win, and then they had to edit his meeting with JoJo's family to make it seem like the family hated him and wasn't going to approve, and she was going to have to go with Robbie, because that whole like meet and greet went more smoothly, and it just like reeked of that same kind of producer intervention and editing after the fact to make it seem like there was more trouble than there actually was.
I totally agree with that. Plus, like Nick's story is that he's been heartbroken, right? Like,
oh, you know, he's been on the show. This is fourth time.
Not sure if you heard about that, but it's his fourth time
on
the show.
He's been on before. He's been in love twice.
And it's like good. It's a good narrative. Like the two heartbroken people find each other.
Also,
can
the
I
way
just point
asked
out one thing though about Vanessa's family?
Yeah,
Italian.
Yeah,
yeah.
Grimaldi.
Don't sleep on that. The Italians they're all in, but they're also suspicious.
The food looked delicious.
And they want to know, like, the way they handled it, I'm half Italian, is exactly how, you know, the Italian side of the family
sure.
I grew up would have handled it that way. Like, so what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And putting the person on the defensive made sense to me.
I liked that. Also, I would say despite the rain, Montreal seemed delightful.
Beautiful.
My favorite city of the four that we saw. It seemed
although
great.
That was Nick's biggest lie of the whole show. I mean, I could move to Montreal. You're
He's
not moving to Montreal,
moved,
Nick.
No,
there's
never.
No way. Guess what's not in Montreal? Like paparazzi, Hollywood opportunities. There's
also,
no way.
We know that Nick likes to take his shirt off, and it's definitely too cold for that in Montreal. So he's not staying there. No, there's no way. Let's move on from Vanessa. We've talked about it for too long. Let's talk about Corinne. Like the main thing about Corinne, were you surprised by her family or was that who you were expecting?
I was not surprised by her family. I was surprised by Corinne.
Why?
This was the episode where she, I'm in on Corinne.
Me too. I'm completely in. She wins over. I can't
She's
believe
great.
It. The upset of the century. Forget the Patriots coming back and winning the Super Bowl. This was the moment that defied the odds.
No, actually, let's not forget the Patriots. Let's keep the 25-point lead as the biggest.
She, unlike other villains in the show, and
yes.
you are the true Bachelor scholar of the group here, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but my assessment in the time I've been watching is that the villains are often so easily cast as the villains because they do not have a really sincere connection
sure.
to the contestant. This was the moment where Corinne stopped being a caricature and stopped being a self-parody. And the thing that you had to notice, even as she was bizarrely lounging in bed with her father drinking
so
red
weird.
Wine, which, like, I'm close with my dad, but have definitely never done that. The thing that really shone through the most was that her love for Nick is really genuine. She is in love with this guy. She wants to be with him. And it was sort of winning, which I was shocked by.
Hey, let me flip that even a step further. I think she's been in love with him genuinely since like the first show. And all the decisions that she made were based on, I love this guy, but she's young and she doesn't know how to get him. So I'm going to get a bouncy castle and I'm going to hop his bones and I'm going to show up. Like she didn't know how to win him, but like genuinely loved him.
Sure.
And now that it's getting closer and closer, and Nick obviously is just trying to get to the final three with her.
Oh, definitely.
He's taking the car for a test ride.
He's
just like, if I get the final three, I'm taking the car to San Francisco and back. 8-hour test ride.
8 hour?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're only in the fantasy suite for 8 hours,
yeah,
right? 12?
Juliet's theory and Carrie's theory, you know?
Oh, quick
Nick. He can't make it 8 hours.
Quick Nick.
Yeah.
But the 8 hours might help him.
That's
a little recovery
true.
Time.
That's true.
I think Corinne made some smart choices with her hometown date, which kind of gets to what you were saying. She had to use her sexuality to win him over, but now she's on her playground. She picked a great date, which is shopping.
I just want to tell you, like, when a girl buys you clothes with their own money, it's a win. Yeah, I was touched. I was aroused. I was I was all in. I was like, this is great. This is a woman who made a point of being like, I'm going to shop for you. Let me pay.
It's true.
She flipped the tables on him. It was awesome. It was a great power move.
I think Nick also likes a power move. So she kind of reading her audience. Also, I think another reason why Corinne came off well is because she wasn't drunk. She's been drunk almost the entire season. When she says crazy, rude things, it's because she's wasted.
I texted Jacoby. She's had more champagne this season than Kenny Anderson did when he was in the Celtics. She's had the glass of champagne.
Constantly.
How many times? Like 20 different times? Who drinks this much champagne?
I think it's a good move.
Champagne's terrible for you.
That's true. I don't know how these women don't like gain 10 pounds.
Well, also, it gives you the quick buzz and then just makes you tired. That's why she's taking all these naps.
Yeah, that's why she's napping.
Your season-long theory.
Yeah, that's why she was wide awake. Exactly.
When I bartended, I hated when people ordered champagne because I felt like champagne, then one glass of wine, they were going to be ready to go home.
It's the absolute worst hangover, too.
It's terrible.
As someone who likes champagne, you just keep drinking it and drinking it. Like, I could easily go 3 hours, 10 glasses of champagne, and then you're, like, wrecked for 2 days.
Yeah, you're like, you may as well have done crystal meth.
Yeah, exactly. It's really, really, really bad for you. Corinne's family, also pretty formidable. Her dad was asking the tough questions. I liked how money was front and center of Corinne's date. It just felt, like, very on brand. Her top concern.
Good. They pushed it a little.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you know, it's not like Corinne could set up the shopping day without the producers anyway. I mean, I was wondering who actually paid for Nick's outfit.
I was going to ask you that.
Do you think Nick, like, if Corinne actually paid?
I think she expensed it.
She signed the receipt.
Yeah.
They like probably reimbursed her.
The reaction. Yeah, they must.
So I look at, because I'm very close to my own daughter, and I think dads being close to their daughters is just something I have a lot of affection for.
Sure.
And she seemed very close to her dad.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we've seen bachelor situations where maybe there were daddy issues that explained some of the behavior. And in this one, it just seemed like she's just like this little spoiled princess that her dad kind of gave her everything. And now she's on this show trying to win. And I'm all in on Corinne. Complete 180.
If your son brought home Corinne, would you be like, yes, go for it?
Oh, I think he will. I don't think rule it out. It's in play.
She is definitely his type. Blonde.
Blonde and probably somebody you should stay away from. Seems to be at age 9, the two things he likes right now.
Biggest shock about Corinne is that she's the oldest. I never would have guessed that. And the sister's
name?
That's
true. She does seem like a young sister.
What'd you say?
The sister's name? Taylor explains a lot.
It really does.
How about this? Compare and contrast. Corinne to the lead character in Clueless, played by Alicia Silverstone, whose name I can't remember.
Cher.
She's a little Cher-like, right?
That's pretty rude to Cher. Come on.
Wow.
Why?
I like Corinne, but no.
How is it rude to Cher? The first 45 minutes of that movie, they're the same person.
Cher was much more composed. She got
she wasn't like as sexually.
Yeah. She was saving herself for the college guys. Remember?
Nick just wants to get her in the suite.
100%.
He had a chance to do that, though.
Okay.
Last week.
No, but he explained it to Juliet.
But if that was all he cared about, he could have just done it.
No, he wants to do it correctly by the rules.
His number one concern is his image. 100% Nick over everything.
What I noticed, above everything else, I know we're not on Rachel yet, and I won't jump ahead, but since he asked you 27 times during your 36-minute podcast, what did you think? Did I do okay? How did I do? I noticed when he asked Rachel, how did I do? He's like desperate for approval. On the whole, as you guys know, I'm very pro Nick. I think he's incredibly sexy. And even though he's kind of dull is unkind, but
he's not dull. He's worried about how
dry.
It's coming off.
He's dry and he's been through the rodeo a couple times.
A little basic, but he is, in general, someone I root for and I'm a fan of. This was an incredibly emasculating episode for
us. Every step of the
way. 100%.
Yes.
I think he needs to be with somebody who kind of wears the pants and orders him around.
I realized that show yesterday.
Yeah. I think that's his personality. Like, if he marries Corinne, Corinne's going to be like, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're going here, you're going to wear that. I think that might be what he wants.
It is what he wants. Andy was definitely like that. Like, she was bossy.
He liked it.
Yeah, and he was really into her. And Caitlin also a strong personality. Like, he's into women who are assertive.
I never had a type. I think it's weird when people have a certain type. No, I just kind of rolled with the flow.
Oh my God.
I always really liked anyone who laughed at my jokes was my type. It's like, oh, you have great taste in jokes. It's great
for
you.
Do you have a type? You know, I like those like middle-aged pasty British men. So yes. I watched The Crown over the holiday weekend and I was like,
a lot for you there.
Everyone
she loved Lane from Mad Men, was like
sexy.
Her dream guy.
He's on The Crown, too.
Yeah. He is on The Crown.
He's the father.
That's right. King's Speech, right?
Yeah, but that definitely is Nick's type.
But that's not Vanessa.
I think it is.
You think she's eventually like, you're moving to Montreal and you're going to get a job here? Like, I don't think she's like that.
Sneaky thing about Vanessa, I bet she wants to leave Montreal. I bet she's like, yes, I'll move to LA. Right. I'm there.
And he really responded to how she called him out about the bouncy castle episode and sort of sat him down and was like, this isn't, you're not handling this well. Like, he kind of wants to be scolded a little bit, which makes it weird he wasn't into the Jasmine choke.
I know.
I guess that points to the fact
not
that
not in the bedroom. Non-sexual scolding only.
Yeah. Jasmine open your got mind. Scary there.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, he can't roll with the punches with stuff like that.
He didn't
ben
seem
Higgins
over it.
Would have had more fun with it.
Definitely.
Weirdly, because he's uptight, but he would have rolled with it.
Ben is so sweet and, like, nice forward-facing, but he's definitely freakier than Nick. I think we know that Nick is just probably not that fun.
Well, I also think that Nick...
I love you, Nick.
No, I think...
I really like Nick. I really do.
I think Nick, though, I don't think it was so fast to become The Bachelor.
Yeah.
That I don't think he put a lot of thought into here are the 9 things I have to do or whatever. Because, like, like Ben said on your podcast, that my daughter and I listen to it every time we drive to a game. She loved Higgins. Ben Higgins was like the Mel Kiper Jr., The Bachelor.
Spoiler alert. But Ben's coming back next week.
Great.
Yes.
So, but Ben was like, you can't openly kiss these girls in front of the other girls. That's like rule number one. And Nick's been on the show a bunch of times and climbs in the bouncy castle with Corinne. And it's like writhing around in there. And that makes me think, like, does he even have a plan? He just want to be on the show?
I think there's two people on TV whose libidos can't be stopped. One is Tony Raines of The Challenge. And the other is Nick Viall. And I think sometimes it just takes over. When he's with Corinne, he's obviously so attracted to her that he just sort of like forgets the cameras are there. When she just jumps on him in the store and he's like, she's like riding him. That was ridiculous.
Do you think it's just Nick, or like if Corinne walked in now, would I just be like sizing her up? Like, is there some
we
sort
probably
of...
probably all would be.
Is there some sort of natural sexual energy she has that just anyone in her vicinity, they just, women are threatened by it and men can't handle it?
I think I would say yes, because of how the women responded to her, because they could like feel it.
It sounded like she did anything that bad.
She didn't, but she
just went topless in the pool. Maybe shouldn't have done that.
And she also was rude. She was rude to them, but she was drunk. She's a mean drunk, I think.
Yeah.
I agree with all that, but I don't think it's about Corinne. I think it's about Nick, and I think it's okay. Like, I actually really liked the way he explained this to you on the episode last week, where he basically said, I've asked these women to be outgoing and to be assertive and to sort of take control of the situation, and then, like, what am I going to do when they do that in whatever way they choose? Like, what's the alternative there? Basically, to, like, slut-shame one of the women for trying to be sexual. That's a really bad look for him, too. So his point about how you're always alienating somebody in that situation, the woman you're with, the women who are watching, the viewer, somebody, like, not to be like, Nick's life is so hard. He's handsome and famous and on TV and getting to date 30 beautiful women. Like, he's fine.
And that's not a new $3,000 outfit.
There you go.
Yeah, great,
like,
outfit.
By the way, the most expensive piece of garb I've ever owned in my life.
Wedding dress?
Wedding dress. A fraction of the cost of that sweater. A fraction. It's just absurd.
He did seem a little uncomfortable with the expensive clothes.
But was he uncomfortable because of the cost of the items, or because she bought the stuff for him?
So I'm glad you brought that up. I think there's a difference between like liking to be called out and having someone like pay for you.
Right.
And I think that he is in some ways a little traditional. And I was wondering if the shopping actually will do Corinne in.
Well, how much money does he, like, what was his job before this?
Software sales.
Yeah, so that there might be a little bit of a hang up with, she comes from a lot of money.
Well, also, Corinne's dad obviously does not think that software sales is good enough, because he doesn't think that he will be rich enough for Corinne.
Corinne's dad was like the dad out of an 80s rom-com.
Oh, I loved it.
He was so,
so true.
Good. When are you going to get married? Like, he's one of those, like, there was like, what, a 15-year stretch where that dad was a character in half the rom-coms?
100%. Yeah. Like kind of like the pre-father of the bride dad.
Yes.
I liked it, though.
I liked him, too.
It was so transparent. I'm just like, yeah, a lot of people worry about that. Like, when you're getting married, that actually is like a consideration. Like, you know, not the only one, but like, it is like something to think about. Like, can we buy a house?
Another thing to think about as a dad of a daughter, as I watch this show, I always put myself in the dad shoes. And like, if you're Corinne's dad just banging out these episodes, there's some rough moments where
if you're Corinne,
gotta really reevaluate some of the decisions you made.
The other thing that also really won me over about Corinne, by the way, speaking of her family, is how they talked about Raquel. Like, the reason she calls her nanny is because she's been in her life for so long, not because she like was hired yesterday to be her nanny. And I just, that was like,
a rough, that was a rough kind of moment with the...
The whole thing is uncomfortable.
That was uncomfortable.
I couldn't
really understand the Raquel.
Also, like, just... I don't know. It makes more sense in context now, but it also is just like the way they presented it. The way that the show has made a joke of Raquel is mean. It's actually not Corinne's fault.
Yeah, she's actually this really nice lady who has been with Corinne forever.
But that's not on Corinne is my take now.
I found that all really unpleasant. Like, there was actually a lot of challenging stuff to watch in the episode. The special needs students, the discussion about race with Rachel's family, like on the whole was all the cancer conversation with Raven's family, like, all of that was handled pretty well.
You didn't even mention the most uncomfortable.
The Raquel thing.
Well, the Raquel thing was...
The thing is, like, does she actually sit at the table with them every night and have dinner? Or do they just do that
to not look bad? She left with more questions.
In the episode, because then they're, like, all looking out the window and she's cleaning the dishes.
Yeah.
You know, like, they couldn't even maintain the farce for more than...
Right,
one
so, like,
scene.
That's, like, the true, like, exploitative thing. Like, they've taken this woman who, like, you know, who knows what, like, their arrangement is like and whatever, but they've turned it into, like, a really uncomfortable, like, prop on the show, basically. And then it just is wrong.
Not as uncomfortable as the date with Rachel, where the producers were obviously like, what's the blackest situation we can put him in right away? Rachel, can you take him to your church?
Yeah.
And it was just like, just coming out of the gate, they clearly had a meeting where they said to themselves, Nick and Rachel haven't really addressed the white black thing yet. Like, let's just go in, just come flying in right away. And then make that the theme. To me, it feels like totally disingenuous, because how does that not come up before she makes the final four?
Yeah.
How do they not talk about that at all? Have you ever dated a black girl?
I think
how's that not a conversation before the final four?
Well, the thing that's, I think, even worse is I bet it has come up before, because we saw a little bit of it in New Orleans, and then they cut it, and they only really showed them talking about it in the hometowns, basically.
And then the question of... why do you like my daughter? Like, have you ever dated a black girl? When the mom was doing that stuff, like, he just didn't seem like he was being honest. Like, I don't really see color when I see Rachel. It's like, come on.
Totally.
Like, also, you don't believe that.
I thought he was too honest with his answers to those questions in general, across the episode. Like, when Vanessa's mom was like, what do you like about my daughter? And
that
he
was
stopped
awkward.
Just short of being like, she's just hot. Really want to fuck her. She's so hot.
She walked out of the limo and I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And she had to respond and say, like, that's what about, like, I know she's beautiful, but what else? And he sort of did the same thing with Rachel's mom. I mean, he made a speech, right? He got on his soapbox for a minute to go through the prepared answer about, I understand that we're in a situation where we're not the same color, and, you know, went through kind of checking off the responses he knew he was supposed to give. But then, like, it was with the sisters, maybe twice out of the five things he said was just like, she's hot.
Right.
He kept doing it.
It was particularly weird because he basically got rid of Danielle L because she couldn't answer these questions when he asked her, like, what do you care about in a relationship? And, like, all of these sort of, like, very, like, pro forma questions, and her responses were just really bad. Right. So you would think that he would prepare it a little bit more for all
but
of them.
But what's the right answer? Like, what if he had said, I've always had a thing for black girls. And this was like, I saw Rachel and I was like, this could be the one. Like, that would have been 100 times weirder.
Totally.
Than whatever, like, fake presidential answer. There's no way to answer it.
No,
but the black-white thing hung over that whole date, and they never, I just never bought that they were a couple.
Well, this
did
is.
Did you?
Well, it's hard to now that we know definitively she doesn't.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, we're watching it. Like, we know she
doesn't. It is weird. There's a lot to unpack with the Rachel date.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. But first, can I tell you guys about Framebridge?
Please.
You sure?
I just wanted to have a break. Okay, ready? Do you have 1,000 photos living in your phone and not a single one in a frame? Now you can get those great memories off your phone on your wall with Framebridge.com. Here's what you do. Go to Framebridge.com, choose your frame, or let their designers help you choose. Then upload your photo from your computer or directly from Instagram. Preview your photo online in the frame, and then it'll be ready to order. If you can't upload your photo art, no worries. You can mail it in for free. It's affordable. Instead of hundreds you pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all the shipping is free. There are tons of quality options. Framebridge has a frame for every single style that you might want, from clean to classic or more eclectic. Plus, Framebridge uses premium real wood moldings, acid-free matte board and foam board, and their acrylic glazing will never shatter and protects your piece from harmful UV rays. That's pretty important because I have a lot of stuff on my wall that's been discolored by the sun. So remember, the expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item in days, not weeks or months, and deliver your finished piece directly to your door. It'll be ready to hang. Framebridge offers a happiness guarantee. Their team gives each item personal care and attention because meeting your expectations is as important as meeting their own. So come on, let's do it. Use Framebridge. Get started today framing your photos or art.
Go to framebridge.com, use promo code Bachelor, and you'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Again, that's framebridge.com with the promo code Bachelor. Hey, let's also talk about Casper. Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Supportive memory foams create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. Try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend a third of your life on it. Free shipping and return to the U.S. and Canada to boot, so it's no big deal. You don't need to commit. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress. So, go to www.casper.com/bachelor and using the offer code Bachelor, get $50 off towards any mattress purchase. Terms and conditions will apply. Okay, back to the show. Okay, so let's talk about Rachel.
I think it's very important that we frame this correctly.
Okay.
Thanks to our friends at Framebridge.
Thanks to our friends at Framebridge.
Now let's frame our conversation correctly. Yeah. Okay.
So last week, right after last week's episode was on, and then we find out on Jimmy Kimmel Live that Rachel is the Bachelorette. Extremely strange to announce it while she's still on the show. And
we have a feeling we know why they did it that way, though.
The rumor is they want the men who are vying for Rachel to be more diverse and hopefully have more black men.
From a casting perspective.
Yeah, so it's for casting.
They need to get it out.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the rumor, unconfirmed, which is cool. Okay, fine. But they just handled it really weirdly. Is it harder for you to watch the show now that you know she hasn't won? Like, does it affect it for you?
I like it. I wish sports was like this.
You know,
I wish
outcome.
I could have watched
the
football playoffs knowing that, like, oh yeah, Green Bay is going to lose in the Final Four. I don't really have to care about this game as much.
It's tough because watching this at all requires obviously suspending a tremendous amount of disbelief. And so when you're robbed of just that one shred of something that allows you to buy in, you're left in that situation where you're breaking down every word, the tone, the way everything is phrased, the look in someone's eyes. And I guess we do that with Nick and with everyone anyway, but you have nothing else to look for. You're not actually watching that and saying, oh, like with Vanessa, the way Nick phrased the "Do I have your blessing?" question to Vanessa's dad was different than the way he phrased it with any of the other parents. And it was like, oh, we don't know if he's going to pick her, so we can parse that with the openness of not knowing. And you couldn't do that with the exchange with Rachel or Rachel's family.
Right. By the way, wasn't Rachel's dad the one that couldn't be there?
Yeah, he just didn't want to be on the show, I assume.
Oh, I have business. Get the fuck out of here.
If I'm a judge, I wouldn't want to be on the show either.
Of
That's embarrassing.
Not. Chris Harrison, in his blog post, said that Nick and the dad met later that night.
Yeah, he just didn't want to be on the show.
So
good for him. I respect that, honestly.
There's no way if my daughter is on The Bachelor, a show that I'm very familiar with after X many years, and that guy's coming through my town to meet my whole family.
Yeah.
Like, hey, guys, I can't. I have this conference in Austin. I can't get out. Like, get the hell out of it. No way.
It was ridiculous.
There's no way he didn't meet Nick.
I respect him for wanting to be on it, though. I assume that's why he wasn't there. And I respect it.
I would have. So if I was the dad, I would have spent a lot of time grilling Nick about the other reality appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Nick, I did some Googling. You were on two other Bachelors. You fell in love with both of them. Or Bachelorettes. And then you went on Bachelor in Paradise. What is it about you that would make me think that you're not in this to just for the 15 minutes of fame and just being the lead of a show? Why do I think you're in this for the right intentions? And Nick would have a real trouble answering that.
Definitely. Definitely. He would just say, like, he would pull a hinky. He'd be like, I believe in the process. Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, the evolution. But that's where Vanessa's mom, who I thought was very uncomfortable for the most part. But I was waiting for her to ask that one.
All of the parents had some version of either challenging Nick directly to his face or saying to the camera, I didn't think I was going to like this guy. Like, I thought he was going to be a scumbag. And then he won me over because he's, like, handsome and has a nice beard. But they all had doubts.
I think also, like, reality TV people, you expect them to be, like, really dumb or, like, completely unself-aware. And Nick is neither dumb nor unself-aware. So
I like Rachel's family.
I like Rachel's family,
too.
I'm
ready for it to spend this season with them.
Yeah.
The next season. Good family.
Will
cute sister.
Will her dad be on The Bachelorette, though?
He's got a business trip in Shreveport.
For an entire season.
Yeah,
It's a good question.
Back in time.
It's a good question. I found this episode hard to watch because it's a big deal that Rachel's the first Black Bachelorette, and it's awesome, and like it's something they should have done so long ago. But then this whole episode felt so exploitative of race, and like the conversations about race were so uncomfortable that it made me nervous for her season.
Right.
Like, so do you think... My guess is like when there's about six left, they're like, Nick, who are you picking? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm taking Vanessa. It's like, all right. So here's who the final four is going to be. We're going to make Rachel the next Bachelorette. Even if you want to take her to three or two, she's got to go before the overnights because, you know, we got to maintain some level of purity with her. You just got to go now. Get her out. Push her away. Your final three, Corinne, Raven and Vanessa, and he's like, "That's great. I just want to have sex with Corinne. I don't even care who else is in the final three. Corinne's going to be there, right? That's all I cared about."
This is going to be a little spoilery. Are you guys comfortable with that?
Yeah,
she's in the Finland shot.
Rachel goes to Finland, so Rachel moves on to final three. She does.
She's in the season.
Oh, so yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah, Rachel moves on. So Rachel's in. Vanessa's definitely in.
100%.
There's no way she's not. So it's either Corinne or Raven who's out.
You know, because you read all the stupid things.
No, I don't.
Things.
I don't.
You have like Reality Steve on speed dial.
I know, but I don't read his site. And whenever he and I chat, it's a spoiler-free zone.
I stay away from all this stuff. I would say Raven's out.
After that mud date, though? Mallory.
Corinne's not out. Corinne bought him a sweater.
The thing is, Corinne, even though he really wants to sleep with her, I mean, he has to pick her. The only reason she's still around.
Are you sure Vanessa's going to win?
Okay, Raven's definitely not winning. Wait, right?
Okay.
Can we agree on that? Guys, Raven almost stabbed her ex-lover in the shoe. Like, she's not winning.
Yeah, but Nick likes an assertive woman.
Man, that was...
Do you know one thing we've never discussed? Something. Is when that episode aired in Arkansas, the show cut away to a commercial when Raven described what she did to her ex and the woman he was cheating on her with.
What?
Yeah, did you know that?
Can she be on the challenge?
Oh, my God.
That's a great question.
Can't they cross over?
Get her on a podcast. She's my top pick of this cast. Thanks for the idea.
She'll be on Bachelor in Paradise.
For sure.
I mean, her and Jasmine.
Also, like,
Corinne would be amazing. She might be like the LeBron of Bachelor in Paradise.
She might be like
a 20-year career.
I'd like her to be the bartender. Like, amazing. I don't even want her dating. I want her to be, like, consulting with everyone.
I want to know what happens when they're out of champagne with Corinne and how she handles it is one of the last.
She goes to sleep.
Wow, so Rachel made the final three.
Rachel makes the final three, which is even weirder that they announced.
I'm stunned.
I know, but she does. We know she does.
And it all but guarantees that she doesn't make the final two because they're not going to ruin the finale, right?
That would be so strange.
So then we know how Fantasy Suites ends. I think there's a chance, though. The Rachel Nick thing has been so interesting and fun to watch all season. And this was the first episode where I thought I figured out why it won't work out.
Interesting.
Which is that she's actually not that into him.
Yes, I was going to say that too.
And he's afraid of rejection.
I totally agree.
She's the only one. Because Raven did not say I love you and was like really in her own head about it and regretted it and consumed with like angst. And she will say it. You know that the second she gets in front of him
again
at the rose ceremony, if she has a chance.
I love you.
Exactly. She'll like send a little, what's like the four-wheeler version of a paper airplane? She'll like write it on a muddy glove and send it over to him or something.
Some ATV.
Yeah, Rachel's going to be the one who doesn't give him what he needs to hear.
Right.
And he's going to freak out. He's going to panic that he can't keep her around because what soundbite have we heard in every episode? I don't want to be the first bachelor to be rejected. So he's
afraid.
Or
what if it's leading to Rachel rejecting him?
That might happen. Like, she quits. She's just like, I don't love you.
What about this timeline? Fantasy suite, door closes. 11 seconds later, it opens. And he's hastily putting on his pants. And she's like, I can't believe that just happened. And she's out. Like 100-1 odds, 50-1 odds.
I can see it. I can see it too. I actually don't think any of them are related to him.
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry. I didn't mean it. One more chance.
I think the
just
only
give me 10 minutes.
The only one who loves him is Corinne, and Corinne's 24. The other three are all older, which I think is notable too.
Right.
Corinne bought him that sweater, man.
Corinne's and the jeans and the shoes.
Yeah,
the whole outfit.
She'll do anything for him. Back to Rachel though. Let's talk about Rachel's family. Mm-hmm. So. I was very, so the father wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then her sister, Constance, can we get her as the bachelorette? I liked her very much.
She was a huge fan of Constance.
She was so direct. It was amazing. And so, again, like, I don't know if I'm just, like, projecting it, but I just feel like election stuff is, like, seeping in. When she was, like, referring to, like, the climate that we're in, I was just like, we know this is, like, 6 or 7 weeks in now, and this is, like, very close to the election, if not already happened.
Right.
And so, like, I just feel like that date was probably the most influenced by, like, outside forces of the four.
Possible.
Question.
Good, cute older mom, too.
Oh. The whole family was good looking.
Great family. Everybody was very well put together.
They also, like...
My favorite fam of the four.
Me too, for sure. Also, even though the dad wasn't there, the rest of them seemed very ready to be on TV.
I like that more than the dad wasn't there. Dad was like, I'm not going on this.
Mr. Lindsay.
I'll meet him after. I'll give him a nice firm handshake and make eye contact with him, make him uncomfortable.
If Nick comes to you and asks for your daughter to hand in marriage when she's 18 or over, like, what do you say in that moment? What's your response?
I mean, I'd be creeped out. What's that, like a 25-year age difference at that point? My daughter, though, this is her first Bachelor season, doesn't see the part that maybe you shouldn't go on The Bachelor.
Uh-huh.
Like, she sees the good in it.
That's so
sweet.
Which
I think is, you know, she's 11 and a half. She doesn't know any better. But she sees this still as realistic and how the girls don't like each other makes sense to her and all these little things. But I don't think she realizes yet that it's not a great thing if you're on this show. So I don't think it's a great thing that Vanessa's on this show. Vanessa, how can she not find somebody?
I don't know. Maybe
is the Montreal dating scene like that much of a disaster?
That's when you have to wonder why she's on the show.
Exactly. And didn't the Juliet research you did on this?
Yeah.
She's been on other shows, right? Red flag.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she's down to move to Los Angeles.
What were the
I'm
other
sure.
shows?
It was like it's like Blue Mountain State on Netflix. She has like 4 credits on her IMDb page.
What do you think of that, Mal?
Well, I thought the way he responded to you bringing that up confirmed that he picked her, first of all, because he really was willing to engage with every bit of criticism you raised, except for that. He was like,
yeah,
like really clipped and short. You know, as you guys discussed last week, you don't go on the show if you're not interested in being on TV. It's just insane. It's insane to even like indulge the delusion that people are there other than your 11 and a half year old daughter who can still see the pureness in it,
right.
The pureness and just wanting to find love. Like people do not go on reality television unless they're interested in being on TV and getting that exposure. And like, you know what? That's fine because Nick wants to be famous. Nick wants to be on TV. Nick is handsome. Nick has
you think
been,
so?
I mean, I love Nick. I've never enjoyed, like I love TV. I watch a lot of it. I've never enjoyed anything I've seen on TV as much as watching Nick sling a muddy raven over his shoulder and then get down in the swamp. Oh, my God.
We need to get Mallory some water.
Is it getting hot in here?
It's getting hot in here.
Oh
Jesus. What just happened?
It's so sexy. And the way the, like, muddy, filthy water was, like, cascading down his abs.
I just think he looks cheesy when he does that. You are to Nick as I am to Ben. It's fine.
I love him.
It's just different
taste. Do you think Nick sees Ben, like... I thought it was so admirable that Ben's like, yeah... Started working again. What else am I going to do? I'm going to be the Bachelor for 20 years. And I think Nick hears that and just a chill goes down his spine.
Yeah, I mean...
He's like, what do you mean?
He's not going back to Salesforce.
This isn't going to last?
He's not going back.
Nick's looking at like a Johnny Bananas type of run.
Let's get him on a different show.
Where he's on just...
Spinoff?
Spinoff or maybe he's eyeing Chris Harrison's job. Let's be honest. Chris Harrison... Non-factor this year.
Non-factor.
Really? Like kind of phased out. Do you think they...
All he does is voiceovers.
Do you think that Chris Harrison like got a little big for his britches?
No, I think he's pissed about it. I think he's probably pissed.
Do you think ABC's like, why are we paying this guy a kajillion dollars? We just have Nick as the host next year?
What they should do is get rid... They should do it like The Hills, how LC used to do the voiceovers and there was no host. The Bachelor should just do voiceovers and then...
I really miss those LC voiceovers.
I miss The Hills actively every day.
Heidi and I went for coffee. But what we didn't realize was something else was brewing. It was always just like, turn on play words.
It was a sunny day in LA, but inside things were getting very dark.
Yeah, so like basic narration devices. What was the date we didn't talk about? Raven.
Raven. Wait, just one thing. Can you imagine, like, remember when Heidi lied to Spencer about being pregnant?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if, like, Raven lied to Nick about getting pregnant in the fantasy suite or something like that? Like, can you imagine if someone did that in today's reality TV climate?
It's one of the last things that hasn't happened on The Bachelor.
I think that needs
to
happen.
The fake pregnancy. a miscommunication in maybe what was going on sexually in the fantasy suite hasn't happened yet. Cross signals on something. Mm. That one hasn't happened.
Well,
that has happened.
Andy said that her night with Nick in the fantasy suite was the most sexually awkward encounter of her life.
But so what was her, was there a story or she was just ambiguous about it?
It's in her book. I haven't read it. And honestly, I only know about
it. You read like all the stuff.
I know. I only know because Nick told me on a podcast. So,
all right, so we have to get the book.
Also have not read it. Wasn't it? I'm sure I have this wrong. Something about like he asked her like if you only had a certain amount of time left on Earth and you were going to have sex four times in X hours, like how many of those times would you want it to be like making love and how many would you want to be fucking?
Yes.
And she was like, so I actually think that's like a normal question.
I kind of like it.
Also, it's like we should be able to talk openly and communicate about these things.
That's pretty weird.
It's weird for your first night together.
That's weird.
If it's the first time if you're like in bed together, like literally in bed, that's a weird thing to say.
Set the precedent that you can have an open dialogue about your love life. It's healthy.
I think how drunk would you get for the one night in the fantasy suite?
Not at all.
Because I think it's you wouldn't get drunk. You'd stay sober.
Yes. Maybe like
would you
one...
do a couple shots over the shoulder?
No, maybe like one to take the edge off.
I was going to say two drinks.
One glass of 15-year-old like single like... malt with Corinne's dad.
But it's like you're almost the horses that when they're trying to mate the two horses, that's kind of the vibe.
Yeah.
So you had 9 hours to mate.
The one thing I don't really
test each other out.
The one thing I don't get about it is like, I think they have days off in between, which you would need because presumably you stay up all night, right? In the fantasy suite, you can't sleep. You got to make the most of that off-camera time together.
Can we get super gross for a second?
Sure. Absolutely.
I shouldn't have had to ask about it. So what happens, like, Corinne's waiting, right? This is like the NBA finals for her. What happens if her Aunt Mary comes to town?
Oh, God.
That's a good question.
Does she get a redo for a week?
I think about this every season.
Karen and I talk about this.
Every
Karen
season.
And my wife and I talk about this every season.
I always think about it.
So let's say Tuesday is the night, but then Monday... biology, whatever the word takes over, and she really needs till Saturday to be in the clear.
Okay, this is what I would assume. First of all, I bet 90% of these girls are on birth control.
Exactly.
So you just make sure you don't take the placebo ones. You keep going.
But do you think you give them the possible fantasy suite dates like 3-4 months in advance?
I feel like the girls probably start to realize as they get close to it and talk to a producer about it, and then they can probably work around that. But I'm sure...
There's no way the producers don't figure that out,
no,
right?
No,
we can't do it Monday the 23rd because Corinne said she's got that 4-day window there.
There's no way Corinne's not on birth control. Like, there's simply no way. So
I'm sure Raquel has been getting it for her for years.
Yeah, so she probably just fucks with her cycle to make sure that it's fine. That's like what people in college used to do when they had long-distance boyfriends.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. See, good information.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody at their best.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that would just really be hard.
I have the fantasy suite is always the best 2 hours of the season. It's always great. I love reading the body language the day after when they're having breakfast. The cuddling, like whether it went bad, you can always kind of tell.
Will we have clarity after the fantasy suites about whether or not Nick is good in bed?
Wow.
Interesting question.
We're not going to have clarity until we have to have one of the three come on.
It's so. I think we'll find out who it is. Raven or Corinne, I would love to have.
Rachel's not saying anything.
No. Also, she's in the ABC press vortex now. That she's
well, but they also probably told Rachel, like, he's not picking you. You're going to be the next bachelorette. Like, don't. You know, maybe don't go hog wild in the fantasy suite.
Don't go too crazy.
Maybe rein it in.
I don't know. Rachel is, she's definitely not into him. It's such a good call. Like, she just, I think, like, wanted to be, but it's just not. I actually don't think Vanessa's that into him either. I think, and, like, Raven, I don't know. Raven's just, like, a caricature to me, so I can't really tell.
I love Raven.
I like her, too.
I like Raven, too.
I like her. I really underestimated her. But there's no way Nick picks her. Like, no. There's no way. She took him to the grain bin.
Raven's like she's a Lifetime movie character where she ends up murdering her teacher and covering it up. And like, she just feels like she should be in a Lifetime movie.
Definitely.
Has a vibe to her. Like seems good on the surface, but there's something dark.
Definitely.
Lurking.
There is like more of like she's more of an interior life than I would have guessed at the beginning.
Yeah, the whole thing with her dad was, like, just very sweet. And I don't know, I'm such a sap, but the moment when she was like, no other man would walk me down the aisle, like, that was just
that was great.
Really
I love
nice.
That.
Yeah,
that
so
was
Raven,
really emotional.
I love
Raven
that.
Finds out her father doesn't have cancer, or his scan came back clean. He's cancer free now. And it was very, very sweet. But if you're the family, don't you want to have that moment off camera?
Now I feel bad that I said she was going to be in a Lifetime movie.
She can do both.
Her name is Raven.
It's true. Did you spot the Raven, like, figurine in the back?
Yes.
In the one of the bedrooms when she was talking with her mom?
That was great.
Great house to sort of break down. They had the large Hogs banner on the door. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Arkansas Razorbacks fans, no surprise. She did the Woo Pig Suey chant earlier in the season. Love her.
Wait, I have a very important question. Just remove all the baggage you have from The Bachelor and everything we've watched. And we're having the next ringer party. Nick comes in with a date, and it could be any of the four people left, and they're just walking through the door, and your instant reaction is, oh, that's a couple. Does that couple make sense? Who makes the most sense of him walking through the door? The reason I ask this is I feel like it's Corinne.
I think it's Corinne, too.
Corinne makes the most sense with who would be with Nick. And she'd immediately have champagne. And he'd be like immediately in that mode of, oh, I got to make sure Corinne doesn't go off the rails tonight. And I just think that's who he should be with. I don't think that's who he's going to pick.
Corinne and Aaron Rodgers, the bartender, would get along really well.
Oh, that's right.
Bill always has a bartender at his house. It looks just like Aaron Rodgers.
Not full time, just for the party.
Just for the party.
It'd be weird if we actually had a bartender at that. Do you agree, Marty? Is that the one that makes the most sense? I don't see him with Vanessa.
I kind of think Raven. Like, even though I don't think there's a chance he picks her, just when I indulge in your thought experiment, that's who I think he has kind of the most natural rapport with. And basically,
I'm shocked by this answer.
She seems like a real human being to me. Again, part of this is colored by the fact that we just, like, know definitively he's not picking one of the four women.
Right.
And the thing is, again, I love Nick. He's not fun. He's not actually fun enough to envision with Corinne.
He was fun at Bachelor in Paradise.
No, he wasn't. He sat sulking in his really sexy, like, little striped trunks.
That was only for, like, 2 days. He became like the shaman of that show,
no,
though.
Even with his good, because he, like, lost out on what's her face, Amanda. What was her name?
Amanda.
Amanda
lost
to Josh.
Yeah.
And then he got sulky, and then he started dating. This is really bad because I can't remember her name and have to use my personal identifier, which is Tits McGee. What was her name?
Jen S.
Yes, Jen S.
Tits McGee.
And he barely ever, they just, like, sort of sat in the sand and, like, tried not to let the sand crabs bite their toes. That was the extent of, like, while being in Mexico on an all expenses paid vacation for 3 weeks of the fun that he had. And that's fine. Like,
I don't think Mallory is. Mallory's not a huge Knicks fan.
No,
at
I love him. This is part of the appeal to me because, like, as you guys know, my ideal activity is basically doing nothing.
Right.
So I think Nick seems chill and fun. And basically, like, he wants to be
Mallory.
A California guy, but he's just a Midwestern
He's
dude.
Obsessed with exercising. You want to do that with him?
No, that seems bad.
Yeah,
I'd like to watch him exercise.
With exercising.
Preferably in a
Does
swamp.
You're out of your mind about Raven. Him and Raven are not
I don't
not
see the
one.
Raven thing
you're
either.
Crazy.
I just think they seem like a normal couple. At the end of the day, they seem like a normal couple.
I see Raven
couple.
With, who is the guy who got the aggressive guy who got knocked?
Josh.
No, the guy who then he went to Bachelor in Paradise, got kicked out on the first show.
Oh,
that guy.
Oh, Chad.
Chad. Yeah, I see her like having like a really up and down Chad relationship.
Oh, boy.
On Bachelor
a lot of
in
yelling.
Paradise.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Raven. She seems fine, but her and Nick, like what would they, like, what do they talk about?
Swamps, four wheelers, pranks. They both love a good prank.
I think Corinne and Vanessa would make sense a lot as a final two because Corinne is like Nick's like sexual, crazy, freaky side, and Vanessa is like his serious, I want to talk to you and like let's get deep over a glass of scotch side.
They both have the same problem though, which is they're the people that you pick if you go on a reality show to find a hot wife and not the people who
you're supposed
seem
to be
like
with.
You'd be with in real life.
Yeah.
Whereas Raven's like a real person.
For some reason, I can't really imagine Nick with anyone. Like, who in the history
oh, God.
Of the... I'm so mean. I like this guy. I really do. But, like, who in the history of The Bachelor would you be like, yeah, maybe Nick should
no,
try
I,
her?
I think you're wrong. I think him and Andy were
yeah,
perfect.
Yeah, I thought Nick and Andy
That's
were perfect
who he
for each
been
other.
With.
It is,
when she showed up at the end of this episode, I was like, I hope this is where it plays out. That's who he should be with.
There was not a single second.
I don't feel like he should be with anyone on the show.
I always thought Andy was going to pick him.
I always liked Andy a lot.
Can I tell you guys something?
Kids, you're wondering. She's beautiful.
This season might be heading toward Corinne making the final two and then not getting the ring and having the best meltdown in the history of the show.
That would be great. Like,
they actually have to put her on a stretcher and wheel her out.
That would be great.
Go to the paramedics.
There's no way he picks her. I'm certain.
So upset.
Oh my gosh, she'll be hysterically crying.
Also, like having to do, they always have the long walk to wherever the remote beach spot is. And as we learned in that one thing when Corinne went to see him in the hotel room, like she just can't walk in heels.
No, she cannot.
One of the worst heel walkers we've ever seen in our lives.
Also, this is going to be a snow finale.
Yeah, snow finale in Finland.
And Corinne only wears bikinis or nothing.
Right.
So what is she going to wear out in a blizzard?
Uggs. Well, they were trying on the cold weather clothes.
They were trying on the cold weather clothes.
She's making it.
Damn it.
She's making the final two.
She's making it. Well, I don't know. They were trying on cold weather clothes. They're going to Finland.
So we think Raven's out. Rachel gets bumped before the final two.
Yeah.
Because you can't give away that she didn't win in the final, and then she makes the final two. We know who's going to win. That would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, she must be third.
So it's going to be Corinne and Vanessa in the final two. Wow. Unless Vanessa goes now.
No. I think it's going to be Raven and Vanessa.
You do?
I do. I know I'm wrong. I don't know. There's just no way he's picking Corinne, though.
There's just no way.
Right. That's the thing. I think he knows that, is that there's no chance he picks her at the end. And so it's like at some point you have to actually eliminate the person that you're not going to pick.
The move, if he doesn't really like any of them, is to pick Corinne just for like the 3 months of sex. You get, 6 weeks of where you're just on the phone, you get phone sex, and then you get the 6 weeks of the, and then
it's way longer than that. It's from November to end of March.
You really have to have a good phone personality. I've done a couple long distance back and way in the day when I was single, and it's awful.
Sucks.
Like, hey, what's going on? What are you doing? It's like the worst.
I'm sure Nick is a big FaceTime user. That's probably like the bulk of
FaceTime's been a big thing for The Bachelor.
He'd have to be. He mumbles too much to only have a phone relationship. you'd be like, wait, where did you say you're touching me now?
Where was I supposed to put that?
It's just hard for me to imagine Nick in a relationship. I don't know what it is. Unless it's with you, of course.
I love Nick.
What's of all the dates they went on, what's the one you most wish you could go on with Nick?
The mud one. I'm serious. That was hot. He looked great.
It's similar to the story you like to tell of the time that you tackled the boy in the playground.
That's right. So. Charles Simpson. Great memory.
I have another important question for you guys. Nick's cried a lot this season.
Yeah,
I'm going to say over 10 times.
In the last 2 weeks alone,
it's been a
probably.
Lot.
He's teared up a lot. Just as a female, how does that make you feel? It's one thing to be sensitive, but it's another thing to just cry at the drop of a hat. Like, that's the rest of your life if you're with this guy. This guy's going to cry at movies. He's going to cry whenever there's tragedy. There's going to be a lot of crying with Nick. Is that a good thing?
I like a man who is comfortable showing his emotions. I think it's really actually very sexy that he's comfortable crying.
Okay.
However, I think he does it so often that it starts to, like anything else in life, it starts to lose its potency and its impact.
I agree.
Are you really that moved by what I'm saying? Like, are you really torn up and sad about this? Or like, are you just kind of doing your thing? They almost feel like show tears at this point.
It doesn't seem genuine. So it's hard to really like give his tears a lot of credence.
I don't like it.
First
of all, you're on a reality show. You're just trying to find a wife. There's no reason to cry at any point during this show unless something terrible happens to one of the contestants. I can't think of a single reason why anyone would cry on this show. He's got 12 people trying to, you know, jump his bones.
When's the last time you cried?
Can't even remember.
Okay.
Oh,
so
wow.
You're just not a crier.
The last time I cried was watching The Bachelor last night.
I cried yesterday, too. Yeah, me too. Some people just cry a lot. Maybe Nick cries a lot.
But he did he cry in his prior seasons?
No.
Do you remember?
I do not recall. Because he's so aggressive. He's always like, he's like ready for the boxing match at all times.
Right.
My wife once cried during the entire span of time of a 1 minute long Michael Jordan Nike commercial.
Which one?
That came on during a game. The one when it like was him like going backwards to when he was a kid.
Oh yeah.
Dion.
Oh yeah.
That's how fast
That's
she can
powerful.
Turn it on. Like she can turn it on in 40 seconds.
Yeah, well.
Oh, yeah.
Nike's really good at commercials.
There was like a couple times where we rented movies where I knew they were sad and didn't tell her. And I was like, oh, this movie, and just knowing what was going to happen. And it's phenomenal.
Oh my God.
But some people just, you know.
What's her take on the crying?
She's a nicer person than I am. She's a little confused by Nick.
I just don't think he really likes any of these women. Ultimately,
I don't think he does either.
Ultimately,
I think he likes Corinne. I think that's who he likes.
He just wants to fuck her. It's really telling that Corinne's the only one who's definitively been like, I'm in love with you. That I don't think has happened in recent memory, where only one of the four was like able to be like, I'm really in love with
you. He's going to pick Vanessa because it's the safe choice.
Yeah,
and she looks the closest to Andy.
Exactly.
That he can find.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're going to end up together.
No. No way.
I would say that there is not going to be a marriage this time around.
No. And can you imagine going on the show four times and then ultimately, like, just having nothing to show for it?
I want him. I think that in a year, he's hosting this podcast with you.
I would love that.
It's Nick and Juliet.
It's weirdly considering one of the, like, the underlying themes of the episode was that, like, basically. So your earlier point, to circle back to the very beginning about how it was odd that this was structured as, like, a day in life. It was sort of a career fair for Nick because he doesn't have a job or a profession. And so, like, it's weirdly, I want him to find love and I want him to be happy, but it's actually better for his future and his brand if he doesn't.
Because
his identity is the guy who's like, right, always the bridesmaid, never the bride, always left at the altar, always coming up just short. So like the best thing that could possibly happen is that he proposes and is rejected again. Can you imagine?
That'd be amazing.
It'd be unprecedented.
I mean, he's like the Buffalo Bills at that standpoint. Buffalo Bills
in
reality TV.
It would be perfect.
It would be incredible. I don't think that's going to happen. Just based on him being here, he seems like pretty happy. Yeah. I just don't think he gets rejected.
So you think when he was in Montreal, he also should have been taking job interviews? We're going to a fondue shop?
Probably so. I will say, if I'm Vanessa and I'm bringing someone home to my family, I'm going to lie and say, yes, we've discussed where we're going to live. Just lie and be like, make it seem like you have a better relationship than you do. I know it's only been 6 weeks, but like, again, like if Nick is really the pro that he claims to be, like just check these boxes, you know? Have the conversation. Prepare for it. You know what a hometown visit's like.
He should be with Corinne. They belong together.
Such a take. I think they belong together for like the summer.
Yeah.
Summer flame out.
They should have been in paradise together.
When you introduced him to my daughter during one of the great days of her last year, I made a Corinne joke. Something at that point I didn't know she was gonna make I thought she was getting voted off.
Uh-huh.
Like whatever, you had already seen the show. And he did kind of deflect it in a way, like, and then I was like, oh shit, did he?
He likes her.
Did she go
her.
Further than I thought? Yeah, the way he reacted, I was like, oh, it was like almost insulting somebody's girlfriend.
Here's the thing. He does like her. I agree with you if he likes her. I don't think he wants to marry her, but he definitely just likes her.
She would never have gotten this edit if he picked her.
That's true.
Period.
Great point.
Oh.
Right? She's been the punchline for the entire season. They're not going to do that to the person he picks.
Do you like her more or the mental health counselor more? Taylor.
Corinne, for sure.
Me
I thought
too.
Taylor was horrible.
Horrible.
Taylor was.
I had high hopes for her after episode one, but she just really let me down.
I think she's going to bring a special level of poison to the Rose reunion show, whatever that one's called.
The Women Tell All.
The Women Tell All. I think she's going to have a big burr up her butt.
We're going to have to hear emotional intelligence a lot. That should be
so
a drinking
many times.
Game.
So many times.
That's happening. The girl who dressed like a dolphin is going to be wearing an outfit.
Sure. Alexis.
Lock that one down.
I loved her. She's like, she's my MVP of the season. The women are like more impressive than usual, but it's made for kind of a dull season because they're
Astrid,
not that crazy.
Who made the fatal mistake of just not unleashing the hounds. So maybe the biggest breasts anyone's ever had on The Bachelor
and kept them under wraps.
And it's like, Astrid, come on. This is your calling card.
Pretty sure she works
Break
at a plastic
out.
Surgery office, right?
Yes.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
But one of the many things that was charming about Alexis is that she freely admitted that she had breast implants.
They celebrated her boobs 1 year anniversary.
That was funny.
I loved it. I love Alexis. I can't wait for her to be in paradise.
She's amazing.
All in on her.
She's amazing.
Oh, yeah. She's a lock.
Yeah, for sure.
Jasmine will be like a sad Bachelor in Paradise. Because I think she's rehashing the mistake she made, and she's obviously like, I wasn't me.
Per social media.
I didn't turn it up.
She seems like she's pretty tight with a lot of the other women. It's interesting to see who's friends with each other. Well, another thing that really turned me on, Corinne, is that I think that the other women actually like her.
Right.
I don't think she's hated the way that she's been made to see.
How does Jasmine lose a dancing competition?
It's
a great question.
Very upsetting.
It was a Backstreet Boys dancing competition. It was like just called in for Jasmine to advance, and she blows it.
Really bad for her.
That was bad.
How do you, I mean, that if you can't show your face around the dancing community ever again.
I don't
again.
Think she can come back. She's got to get another job.
Totally. Just switch professions. Maybe she could also work in a plastic surgery office. Who knows?
Did MMA they, with that chokehold.
That's your
come on.
Did they use the whole budget on the Backstreet Boys and had nothing left for any of the other shows?
Very strange here. Very, very strange. So they stay in LA for three or four episodes. Then they go
to New Orleans, right? That was the next stop.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin as well. They were supposed to go to Charleston. They had to reroute because of a storm. And then they were in the Bahamas and then hometown.
No, they went to St. Thomas.
Right. That's in the Caribbean. Yeah, and then. And Bimini.
Right.
Bimini, I looked it up.
St. Thomas is like, you're not even trying.
No.
Go to St. Bart's.
All-time bad real world season.
All-time bad St. Thomas.
St. Thomas is like, it's The Bachelor. Take me to St. Bart's.
And then Bimini is close to Florida, like quite close. So if it was like really a desired spot, like we would know people that have been there and like are looking to go there. Because it's like the same as going to Miami, basically.
Take me to Turks and Caicos. Take me to Zihuatanejo.
Yeah, or like even St. Bart's or something like that.
Anything. St. Thomas. Like, the real world was there. You can't go to St. Thomas.
Brad Womack's finale was in South Africa. Remember with him and Emily Maynard, his second time. Nick is not even getting close to that. He's still in the, like, you know, he's just offshore, basically.
I think this is Chris Harrison's last season. I feel like they're phasing him out.
They really.
It's like Andre Iguodala with the Warriors. I think there's a game plan. I see what they're doing.
How
trying to prove they can win without him.
How much of it is about the parody on Unreal? How badly has that hurt him?
I think it's been tough for him. Very tough.
It's bad.
Oh, to the point that he might need to come on this podcast.
I'd love to
have talk him. About his pain.
Do some image rehab.
Pain from Unreal.
I'd like for him to be fired or like released so then he can come on here and like burn, like, you know, with an axe to grind and we can like really get into it.
I never want to advocate somebody losing their job, but if they replaced Chris Harrison, it'd be one of those things where we would all go, oh my God. And then it'd be like, oh, all right, let's see. It would actually add a freshness. And make the show seem a little less formulaic.
May I make a suggestion?
Higgins.
I was going to say Nick. I think
Nick
would be a great host of The Bachelor. Just a great host.
Just don't pick Jared from Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh my God. Overrated Jared.
God.
That guy.
The obsession with Jared is just is the biggest mystery ever.
You had
Ashley
the Virgin on. You asked her, right?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
Like, if they're together or whatever?
No, about why she liked him so much.
Oh, she just was like, she made it seem like there's like some like ineffable quality you only understand by being around him. I don't know. I don't get it. He's an asshole. Like, no shots, but like, that's what he is.
No shots, you go to an asshole.
But like, he's a type, you know? It's not like he is like some rare supermodel.
I've never been more confused by what I see with my eyes looking at a person and then hearing other people talk about a person.
It's so confusing.
Maybe it's something about the angles of his face. Just like the way light refracts
and his facial
you
hair.
You can't see on TV
something
how handsome
cool.
he is.
Something.
But he is in person.
There's a vibe about him that people like.
Terrible facial hair.
It's kind of like Nani
weird,
on the
like,
challenge.
Snaggle tooth. I'm being mean
Nani.
Now, but like.
Nani must be beautiful in person.
Nani.
She's very pretty on TV. I think she's pretty, but like
intel on Nani is very striking.
Yeah,
in person.
The way the men respond to her, she obviously like just has something special, but similar to Jared, I guess.
God, I guess so.
She's tall too. Don't sleep on tall women on shows like that sometimes. It's like striking.
You know, she retired from the challenge. She's a bartender in Chicago now.
Wow. She'll be back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll be back. I'm sure of it.
Are we done? We hit everything?
I think we hit it all. Thanks for coming on,
guys. Do we have
any
predictions for the fantasy suite, the greatest 2 hours of the year?
Whatever it is, Nick's going 3 for 3. I guarantee it.
3 for 3 in 4 minutes?
3 for 3 in 4 minutes.
Guys, I think Nick is probably lovely in bed.
Okay. All right, let's end there.
Nick, we love
believe
you.
In you, Nick.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Mal. And thank you, Framebridge.